Talk live with psychics online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Oh, I love that ad. Anyways, we have an awesome topic tonight. It's called Faith and Belief. And I think, you know, I've got with me Stars Dragon Spirit and Stars James, and I think everybody has gone through a point in their life when they doubt, like, well, I don't know, well, you know, or you're really super strong. I mean, every once in a while I think you kind of fall off your path a little bit, but we're going to have a great discussion tonight. Let's hear what their views are going to be on faith and belief from, of course, James and Cheyenne, as we call Dragon Spirit, and it's going to be interesting, and I'm excited because it's one of my favorite things to learn more about. I mean, I'm always learning like all of you, so Stars James, you can take it away here, and let's get the show started.
Thank you, Natalie, and I'm actually really, excuse me, frog in my throat. I'm actually really excited about this particular topic. It's one that, I mean, I work on the site as an advisor, and I do believe that this topic is intrinsically spiritual, and when you're an advisor, you do, at least most of the people that are advisors do, delve into the spiritual traditions. And but this is something that actually is part of my origin story, part of my, you know, how I even became a spiritual advisor or a psychic, is that I originally was an ordained minister. And so a lot of what I will share, and I was an ordained minister in the Christian tradition, so a lot of what I share will probably come from that particular tradition. So I do want to give you that. I don't believe that is the only tradition that is a path to God. That is my own personal belief, and we'll be sharing a lot about beliefs because that's what the show is all about. And the one nice thing about this is Cheyenne doesn't necessarily share the same beliefs as me, and we'll probably have a different opinion on the specific beliefs, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, in terms of this idea of, you know, faith and belief, and are they the same or are they different, we probably will have very similar, if not exactly the same, perspective on it. And that's because, to me, belief is malleable. What we believe in is malleable. In fact, I don't believe that there isn't a single person on this planet that came into this planet through incarnation with a set of beliefs. Beliefs are something that we choose over time. Whether you are a fundamentalist, and a fundamentalist is a type of person who has a belief that beliefs actually save you. You know, to me, I do not see a similarity in belief and faith. I do, however, understand that faith comes from belief, and so what we believe in oftentimes dictates how our faith is, or what we will put our energy and power into, and what we will actually manifest or create on this planet. And so that's kind of my understanding of faith and belief. Belief is a what's the best way for me to explain this in terms of what I think about belief? Belief is what we assume is true about life and our situation and God. That's what I would kind of classify belief as. Where faith is certainly a product of those beliefs, but it is actually the manifestation of our beliefs. It is how we walk through life. And so so those are the two differences. And I would kind of just like to get Cheyenne's viewpoint, not necessarily on specific beliefs. I think we'll go a little bit into specific beliefs later on in the show. But what do you think about these two things? I mean, do you think they're the same thing, or is one the product of the other? And how do they interact with each other?
Okay. Well, first, hello to everybody that's listening and it's here. In some ways, as you said, I agree. In some ways, mine's on another path. I'm the type of person, and with my belief system, because I'm an ordained minister, but it's not an organized religion. And to a lot of people who have an organized religion are going to have faith regardless, as to where I have belief. The faith is already there. To me, they're almost hand in hand, because without the faith, you're not going to have belief, and without belief, you're not going to have manifestation. So to me, you know, there's a separation there, but there's not a separation there. You're going to have faith. Let's say if you set out to do something, you're going to believe that you can do it. And yet, if you talk to the person next to you, they say, well, I don't believe you can do it, but I have faith you're going to try to do it. In a lot of areas, they like I said, they cross. And the true what you said insofar as when it comes to faith, you know, the fundamentalists are going to believe that they're going to be saved by that faith. As to where the other realms are going to believe, well, my belief in this is what's going to take me where I need to go, or is going to manifest what it is I need. It's almost like I said, a cross, but not a cross. It just depends on who you're talking to. A lot of times when I've talked to people and things, you know, without my belief in something, you know, to me, belief is what gets you there. Faith, having faith in the fact that there are things out there that are out of my control that, you know, can come about and can take place and can happen without me having to sit there and have to nitpick it apart and say, okay, if I believe in this one thing or have faith in this one thing, then what I want, I'm going to get. Although there's a lot of people who will think the opposite, you know. But I believe that the belief in something is what brings the manifest, the belief in it. The faith is what's going to stand behind the belief. The belief's going to say, okay, I'm going to bring it to you, and here it comes. And then the faith is, I knew it would. In other words, I mean, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but that's about the way that I look at it, or the way most of the people that I talk to outside of organized religion looks at it. To me, the word faith, to me, refers to an organized religion belief system, as to where believing and belief in things belongs to the other side, the metaphysical, the universe, and these different things. To me, those are very separate. It's kind of like when we were talking on the last show, James, and we had briefly brought up about Christ's birth, you know, how we said it wasn't on December 25th. That type of thing, your organized fundamentalists are going to believe, no, his birthday is on the 25th. It's to where my belief, through what I learn and what I read and what I grow with and everything, is going to say, okay, you've read this, you've read that, you're studying this, you're studying that, and it's not showing me that date. So to me, basically, that's the difference between the two for me.
Right, and I actually, you know, I totally agree, especially when you said that belief and faith go hand in hand. I mean, you are going to have faith. No matter what, you are going to have faith. It is, but that faith is going to be a manifestation of what you believe about life and your situation. So no matter what, you're going to have faith. So if you're in a state where you believe everything, like for instance, I hear sometimes clients say things like, nothing ever changes. Well, actually, this whole universe is about change. I mean, we're flying through our galaxy. You know, our sun is flying through our galaxy, and then our planet is flying around the sun. And, I mean, everything is constantly in a state of flux, in a state of change.
Right.
However, if you hold a belief that nothing changes for you, first of all, you're probably speaking about circumstantially. And the reality is if you hold that belief, it is very unlikely that you will see, you will observe changes in your circumstances, even though there will always be changes in your circumstances. For instance, holding that belief is not going to keep you from getting old.
Right.
Or holding that belief is not going to keep you from being able, or from your interactions with others. Now, you may perceive the things that are constant, but normally those things that are constant are associated with whatever the underlying fundamental belief is in your experience. Which is, you know, most of the time when I hear people say that is, oh, I always attract the wrong men. I always do this,
uh-huh.
and I always do that. Well, sure. If you believe that, I can absolutely agree that you will always attract the wrong men if you continue maintaining that particular belief. And it's very easy to do a reading for you that unless you change that particular underlying belief, you're always
mm-hmm.
going to attract the wrong men forever.
True.
That's just the reality of your situation. Yeah, and so, I mean, I really feel that belief is one of those things, and it's, I don't believe it's as complicated as you know, I'm making it, you know, in terms of how it influences everything. But I actually feel that small belief changes will actually can have powerful impacts on your situation. But I do want to go into some specific beliefs. So anyway, I was just confirming that they do go hand in hand, but to me they are very different. Because this is one thing that I wanted to say. To me, faith is a constant. You are never, there's never going to be a time in your life where you're not going to have faith in something, meaning that you're not going to align with your beliefs and then manifest them. In fact, in the Bible it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, meaning that if you are constantly attracting the wrong person into your life because you have a belief that you always attract the wrong person, guess what? That is evidence of what we do not see about your particular belief system. That is, and when it says it's the manifestation of things hoped for, meaning that, I mean, not that you hope that you attract the wrong man, but you believe it, and so therefore you're going to continue to do it. So that, to me, kind of separates it. Now, faith is a constant. You will have faith in whatever you believe in. Now, belief is malleable. We choose what we believe in. Like I said, there's not a single person on this planet that incarnates with a belief system. No one incarnates as a Muslim. No one incarnates as a Christian. No one incarnates as a Buddhist. No one incarnates as a non-denominational person. There's not a single person on this planet that was born with a set of beliefs and ideas, which to me makes me believe that these things are intrinsically malleable. We can change them. And so when it comes to my own personal beliefs, there are beliefs that I believe are static, which I know I will never change these particular beliefs in my lifetime. One of them is that God is good and that I have power over my situation, but as I surrender to God, that power over my situation actually becomes His divine will for me and His highest plan and purpose for my life. That is one belief that I hold that it has been static. It's actually been static even while I was a fundamentalist. I believed that. For me, one of the most powerful experiences that I had, and by the way, you are going to have beliefs. There's one, it's almost like what I feel is a deception in the New Age community is that, well, we don't have to have belief in anything. We can just be spiritual. And that never really works because you will believe something. You know, whether or not it is you're a Christian or a Wiccan or it doesn't matter what you will believe in something. Even if it's humanism, you will believe in something. Agnosticism is a form of belief. I mean, you have to believe in something, otherwise you wouldn't be here. A lot of times what I see in the New Age community, and it's interesting because there's this dichotomy there, is that many times people will have they'll try to attain that belief of nothing, and they end up becoming very anxious about life, and they use the New Age terminology to justify their own frustrations, and they try to fix their frustrations because they believe that, oh, everything is just okay. And now you can have a belief that there is more than one capital T, there is more one path to the capital T truth. That is not saying that there's more than one truth. That's saying that there's more than one path to the capital T truth, which means that the capital T truth is a fundamental constant. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to put that out there, especially with, you know, with this type of topic, and since we are a psychic network, I do believe that is one very... I see people in this community, even psychics within this community, that oftentimes are very frustrated. But I feel that if they were to just change their belief about a situation, I'm not saying they have to adopt my beliefs, but if they were to change their beliefs about a situation, their life experiences would likely line up in a different way than it is now, because we really are manifesting from those core beliefs. And I guess with that, you know, I mean, I did a lot of talking there, but I guess with that, I'm going to pass to you, and then maybe we can get into some, at least from my perspective, some fundamental beliefs or some beliefs that I see in the world today, or I have had hauled on to myself, that have created frustration that when I've changed them, I've actually experienced tremendous wealth and in prosperity, not just money-wise, but in terms of my life experience.
Yeah.
So Shannon, I'll go ahead and pass that on to you.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's the way we normally do it. but yeah, I believe the same thing that you do right at the tail end there. So when we come back around, you bring that up. But on a couple of things, when you were referring to faith as a constant, faith's going to be a constant to a certain point. Because I've seen too many people have faith in something. And just like you said, they get frustrated and everything else, because they're waiting, they're not getting, and this and that, and then all of a sudden, they don't have faith in that anymore. Belief, everything is, like you said, it's always in motion. It's always changing. It's always evolving. Belief is the thing. You have belief that whatever is going to need to take place is going to take place. Now, insofar as incarnating with no belief, I agree with that. We incarnate with certain things for reasons. Because if we already knew everything and we already did everything, then why do we have to be here? And that goes into karma and a bunch of other stuff. But faith and belief change as you learn and grow. I'm not saying that you're not going to have faith and you're not going to have belief, but those faith and those beliefs are going to change just like everything else does. As you learn, as you grow, as you expand, they're going to shift. Say, for instance, just to give you a real quick small say, for instance, when I was small, I was taken to church on a weekly basis. And I mean, weekly basis, from the time that before I could walk until I was the age 11. And that's the reason they were such an upset with my family, because my gifts started showing up very, very early. That's the reason my father had a panic attack when I was 9 and took me to a psychiatrist. But the thing is that I had questions that came up. And when I asked those questions, I was treated like it was wrong to ask those. But the reason they changed was because I studied, because I was learning, because I was growing, and so forth and so on. So my belief system and my faith in some things started shifting and changing. And like I said, I was told it was wrong, but I don't believe it's wrong. No matter what faith, no matter what belief you have, it's just like you said, God, I believe in a creator. Everyone that I know of believes in a creator, believes in something bigger than themselves that has this, you know, all this created and everything. Now, the ones that you're speaking about that have no belief of nothing, and I don't see how anyone, I mean, I'm not saying anybody's wrong, I'm just saying if you believe in nothing, then, you know, change is imminent. It's just going to happen. So if you believe in nothing, then your life, I mean, to me, if I had no belief in anything, would be in such chaos in everything that I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I believe, you know, that we have belief. Belief is what gets us there. You know, even like you, when you refer to the Bible and your beliefs in that and everything, your belief gets you there. And that's with anything that anybody does on the face of this, on the face of this planet. I mean, you're going to have faith, you're going to have belief, but guaranteed that it's going to change as you grow and learn. That's just an inevitable. As you said, your love for God would never change. Well, like my love would always be a constant for the Creator. That's a given. But insofar as me, how can I put it? I'll use a constellation in the universe, okay? If I were to say that the one constellation is just going to be there forever and never change, ever, 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 I would be fooling myself. Because planets come and go. They shift, they change, they evolve, everything. So that would be just fooling myself, kidding myself. And again, you're talking about the big T. To me, big T, you know, I'm sorry, but in my opinion, it's going to shift. At some point, you're going to have to let go. That's just the way it is. If you let go, things fall into place. It's like when someone believes in something and has faith in something, and that faith is so strong and that belief is so strong that it's going to happen, and you let go, I guarantee you, at some point, it's going to come because you let go of it. I don't think anything is stationary. I don't care if it's a belief system, faith, or anything, just absolutely anything. Everything is always in a state of flux, and as you learn, you're going to have more knowledge. The more knowledge you get, the more forward you're going to go. It's going to change. Now, I'm not talking about, again, like when you say your love for God or my love for the Creator. Something like that I'm not referring to. I'm referring to other things, like you were saying. People, you know, I'll use your example. You know, I keep attracting the wrong guy and blah, 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 and I have faith or belief I'm going to get this for the good of it. But in the back of her mind, or she's thinking, I keep attracting the wrong guy. You're going to keep attracting the wrong guy. If you open your mind and you let it go and you breathe and stop being fixed on one particular thing, learn as you go. If you keep attracting the wrong person, then do something different. There's an old saying, you know, stop expecting change when you keep doing the same thing every day. And that's just the way it's going to happen. And life is not going to stop. And the universe is not going to stop. It keeps evolving every single day. It keeps changing every single day. It's kind of like, say I have a belief I'm trying to find something, pick something up. Let's just pick an object. Just say that I have belief in a certain object that I have. Well, you know, further down the line, I learn this and I learn that and I start growing. And all of a sudden, my belief in that is not as strong as what it was. So to me, things can change, you know. But again, you know, people believe in nothing. And absolutely nothing, to me, their life will always stay the same. They'll be in a cage. They will always be the same. And the same thing with the big T. Things are going to shift. You've got to let go of things. Because if you don't, then what needs that's best for you to take place, you're not leaving room or space for it to come into. Because you got to stop and think about it. We only use, 9% of our brains as a rule? And whatever you're programming in there is what's going to stay there until you get more knowledge, until you learn and grow more. And then once you learn and grow more, it's going to expand. So, I didn't mean to talk for so long, but that's about my points on those.
It's a talking show, so you're welcome to talk as much as you want to. But anyway, I totally agree. And actually, there's one thing that you had mentioned about our faith, and you kind of brought it up two different ways. And the second way I remember more clearly about the person who's like, no, I believe that I'm going to attract the right man, but deep down she didn't. Deep down, mm-hmm. she had a fundamental belief that she always attracts the wrong man. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to bring this up because there is, I'm going to reference a movie called The Secret, and this is a real popular movie.
That's
lots of people
book.
Talk about the movie, and there was a book after the movie, and it was actually a, I like the principles that are in there because they do talk
uh-huh.
a lot about belief. However, I one thing that I really feel that people miss when it comes to that is that faith or belief, neither one of them are a Pollyanna approach to life, meaning that, oh, everything's just going to be okay, and if I just visualize this enough, it will eventually happen. There is a difference between accepting the reality that you're in and understanding that you can take it and attempting
yes.
to, and this is the one downfall that I see with this particular approach after people watch The Secret, is they're like, I'm going to visualize this and
mm-hmm.
visualize it, is that they're not living in reality.
Right.
They're living in fantasy. And I don't believe that this is the truest message of The Secret, either the book or the movie. I don't believe that this is what they were trying to convey. I do believe
correct.
That The Secret is actually, at least from my perspective, when I saw The Secret, I'm like, wait, people don't know this? You know, like, I just kind of thought
yeah.
that was a given. Like, yeah,
me
our
too.
Thoughts create our reality, you know? It is, and at the time, even though at the time I was very fundamental in my own belief and was shifting from that fundamentalist approach to life to a more flexible view of belief,
right.
at the time I had this like shock that people did. I mean, people were talking about it was best selling and everybody thought it was amazing,
yeah,
and I'm thinking, how do people not know this? You know, how is this a... And, I mean, I guess I'm glad that particular media came out, but then it kind of shook me up a little bit, like, wow, you know, this is something that I focused a lot of my intention in my life. I mean, I can
right.
remember even as a child doing this.
Right.
And so it surprised me, but I do want to mention that this is not, faith and belief are not a Pollyanna approach to life.
No.
It is actually very deep, and it needs to be deep. It is important that this goes deep, that the most primary beliefs are shifted. Otherwise, you'll never see change, and you will be contributing to the disasters and the frustration and the violence and the anger and things like that
yes.
exist on our planet today. Because I actually, and you know, you may disagree with me, and that's okay, but I really truly believe that we are the source of the frustrations that this planet is experiencing.
Sure, it's the energy that's created.
It is totally. It is totally
yes.
that. And that
yes.
and that if you're resisting that idea, but you're agreeing with The Secret, I would challenge you that, you know, thoughts actually do create things, and our beliefs actually do create things. And then another
mm-hmm.
thing that you had mentioned about beliefs, I do believe that there is a constant, but that constant is God and is unknowable, not completely unknowable, but only knowable by us in a finite way. So to me, when I say capital T truth, I'm not saying Christianity or Buddhism or Taoism or whatever. That to me is not capital T. Those are all lowercase T's. But I do believe that the constant is that we come from a source, and I also have a very, very deep-seated belief that source is not something that we can
control.
Well, we can't control it. Can we know it? I'm even careful to say that we can know it completely, because we are, that is our source, so we are a part of it. But we are also finite. So I'm actually careful. And I don't know, maybe enlightenment, because I'm not there yet and I don't know anybody who is. But maybe if I were to meet a Jesus Christ or if I met a Buddha, I would go, wow, they understand fully capital T truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that is something that we can know, but I would challenge that unless you are raising the dead and, you know, healing diseases and things of that nature, I would strongly say you do not fully know that. So don't assume that you do. Another thing is,
ask you one question real quick?
Sure.
It has to do with that. Do you believe the source, God, or the Creator, do you believe that they grow and change as well?
I'm not sure that the source, I believe that this whole, I mean, I believe that we are evolving, and I believe that we are a part of source. So is the source, I believe that the source is constant, and I believe that the source exists outside of what we call time-space reality. I mean, this is getting more into, like, you know, metaphysics and quantum physics, but to me, I believe that the source exists outside of space and time, so I don't believe that the source is changeable. Now, I don't care if you believe you agree or disagree with that. I'm fine with either one, because I honestly have to say, I say that carefully because I really don't know, because I don't, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't have a full understanding of the capital T truth yet. So mm-hmm. I have no idea. I you know, possibly. Okay. I wanted to talk, well, let me see. Let me look at my notes. Oh yeah. You had mentioned evolutions, and I believe that our belief systems and our faith is supposed to evolve on this planet. That's why I get very frustrated with fundamentalists who are like, well, you have to believe this, 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 and this. And if you yeah. don't believe that accurately, then you're not in our club. You're not in our group. That is a source of, I would even say, contention to some degree with me. Not necessarily with them, like not struggling with them, but because I have experienced that fundamentalist belief. But when I look back at that, my belief still changed even as I was a fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
My beliefs weren't static. And I don't think that there's any fundamentalist on this planet, whether Christian, Muslim, they're even fundamentalist Buddhist, which I don't necessarily understand that, but I do know that they exist. I would challenge anyone that would say that fundamentalists don't change their belief, or if the fundamentalists tell me that they haven't changed their belief, I would probably challenge that, because I don't know anyone who doesn't change their belief. You don't immediately become a part of a religion and then have all knowledge downloaded into you all at one time. In fact, even in the Christian faith, there's this one verse in the Bible, and it says that it's John 16:13. But when the Spirit of Truth comes, capital T Truth, by the way, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak to you with authority, because the voice comes from God. He will speak what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. By the way, that second part, He will tell you what is to come, is actually the reason why I am a psychic, because I totally believe that the Spirit, and to me that doesn't mean just the Spirit of Christianity, that means the capital T Truth Spirit, does speak to us about the future, okay? But the one part I'd like to point out with that is, it says He will guide you into all truth. And even Jesus said, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you are not ready for it. And then right after that, He says this, I will give you the Spirit of Truth, and He will lead you into all truth, which means that our beliefs will evolve, that we don't quite know the capital T truth yet. And even in that time, His disciples who carried on His message did not know the capital T truth yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through the history of Christianity, that has changed tremendously. I mean, especially with Constantinian Christianity, the whole religion was transformed, and I actually, in a very negative way, violence came into Christianity, and then the Crusades happened, and it was actually very opposite to what Jesus taught. And so when I say that I'm a Christian, I do not mean I am a Constantinian Christian. I mean I am a follower of the teachings of Christ.
Right.
And I still feel like
that.
Most, what's that?
Constantine did all of that business that you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think that there's still a stream of that in our, in the Christian church today. I mean, if you think of, well, even the idea to me that Jesus died to bring salvation or freedom to people, you see that has an impact, that belief that's belief structure even has an impact on, at least in the Christian culture in the Western world, in the United States specifically, because that's where I experience it the most, is that we need people to die for our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That one simple belief that Jesus died for our freedom causes wars even to this day, because one of the biggest supporters of violence in the world today are Christians who have that fundamental belief that we need somebody to die to make us free.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're constantly sending people over to other countries to reclaim or to keep our freedom. And that
and
there's
why
this
do
they belief.
Do it?
Wait.
They're
getting
other people's religious beliefs.
Right, and I believe that people do die for the sake of freedom, but I don't believe that initiating violence ever created anyone's freedom. I mean, if you look at wonderful freedom fighters like the Lady in White with the women's suffrage movement, I mean, that was a peaceful resistance that brought about a transformation in our society so that women even had the right to vote. The Salt March with Gandhi and all of Gandhi's works, really. But that was an example of peaceful resistance. And I actually believe that one had deaths, didn't it? Didn't people die in the Salt March? So people did die, but the reality was that it was the peaceful resistance. And so I don't like the idea that somebody died for me to make me free. I do believe that that spirituality and God is about freedom. But I don't. I really think that fundamental belief actually impacts a lot of the world today. And then, of course, we have Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King Jr. and all of those people having a major positive impact through nonviolent resistance. So that idea of Constantine or Constantinian Christianity, as much as most Christians would want to say that doesn't exist today, it still does. It's still a reality. And I just want to say I didn't mean.
James?
Thoughts on that?
Did
I'm going to pass
you,
it on you. What's that?
There he is. There he is.
I said, you know, I'm glad you stopped because I want to interrupt and tell you we have Stars Ariel on the line who works for Stars, and she is just joining us for the first time, and she's so excited, and she said, can I speak? So can I
sure,
connect her
hey,
here
Stars
and maybe
Ariel.
I'll see what she... Okay, hold on. Let me connect her. Oh, yeah, she's so excited.
Right now.
Ariel, there you go. You've got us.
Hello, I feel blessed to be connected right now. Am I connected right?
You are connected right.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I've got to say, I've just been in awe, and it really touches me hearing both of you so far. Such wisdom and such connection with faith, in a sense of, you know, I feel that I love what you're talking about. I'm curious I've been doing connecting and, again, started out of just wanting to do this more and then really connecting of where I connected with the mother-father source is how I call God. And through that I have learned that it is hearing the heart versus the mind.
Yeah.
And that is what I believe, you know, it's like the Christ consciousness within, the Buddha awakening within, tapping into Moses, going into before religions, though, before Abraham, before he had Isaac and Ishmael and religion even started, there was still a creator, there were still people. And both of you mentioned such good, incredible things of like a combination, too, of what I've been hearing lately with us using such small percentages of our mind, and yet so much... we're understanding with evolving within ourselves and creating our own world energetically has to do with our mind and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to just say one thing real quick, and then I want you guys, I'm so curious to hear. Thank you for allowing me to join here. I just had a connection, because I'm also, you know, I've been doing psychic work for years, and I just had a connection that actually mentioned that statement that you're talking about of where she was raised very, very religious in Christianity in today, in westernized. And she said, you know, it's from that statement that so much is misunderstood, and the statement of where our Creator sacrificed his only son for our sins, you know what I mean, in that kind of realm. And I do believe, and tell me what you two think about this, I believe a lot of everything has to do with us just being taught and told wrong in a very limited and rigid perspective. And I believe that death, in Christ's words, try to explain that it's not even close to what we think. Death does not exist. There is no stopping or ending. And sacrifice. If we look into sacrificing, and we look into, because I asked, this was just recently, I just asked him, what did you mean by that? Why is there so much misunderstanding? When you go into sacrificing, going into the Old Testament was something one would do in the most utmost respect, in the utmost way of saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to now give to you, so I'm going to give you a sacrifice of my best whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's where I see as him saying, okay, I will sacrifice my best. He didn't. Then I see that as, why is that the most magnificent thing in the world? Because first, in a higher realm, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, because I'm not saying that this perspective is correct, but if death doesn't even exist, and our Creator does not need to sacrifice. He created us. Our Creator needs to sacrifice nothing to us, but for him to sacrifice for us was to let him know the love, the belief, the idea that we can even tap business. But I do believe faith is invisible until each soul chooses on their free will to say, I want more in this life, type of thing.
Do you want to start, or do you want me to?
Oh, boy.
I'll start. You think I'll start. How's that? I do want to mention that, because I do believe that that was an expression of God. First of all, I have to be careful with this. I do believe, but that is my belief, but I believe that Jesus was the only begotten Son. However, I also believe that we are one with him. So we are also the only begotten Son, that there's only one reality, and that's Christ, and that is our truest nature. Does that make sense? So,
you're breaking up, James.
Yeah, you're breaking up, James. I don't know why. Oops.
James.
Can't hear you. You want to call back? Maybe he'll call back. Call back,
yeah.
James.
Call back. Go
ahead, Cheyenne. You take it over then. Yeah. Well, he might come back right away, but I'm going to... Ariel, such a nice contribution tonight. I love it.
Thank you. I love what I'm hearing. This is just so beautiful to hear other heightened perspectives and different understandings. And faith to me, in my own work, in my own everything, is everything. But I'm curious as to its definition. So I love this. And thank you, Natalie, so much for inviting me.
I invite everybody, but, you know, you were so interested when we tested out your audio, and you were so excited, and, you know, that's what the show is for. I mean, you know, I want people to be in the chat. I want everybody to have a good time, to learn. You know, I don't know everything, and I learn every single week from everybody that's on the air and even those in the chat room, and it's amazing, isn't it? I don't know if James is... He'll call back. So,
you wanna
comment
while
we wait for James? Just go ahead.
A lot of it, again, Christ's time, to me, it's just like Buddha was in his time. Man was in his time. But Christ told everyone that he was trying to teach. He said, what I have done, you shall do also and more. His message wasn't about him coming and being killed. It was about the different things that he was teaching on and the different things that he was showing us that we were capable of. Again, just like we were talking about Constantine. Constantine's the one that started with the death thing. If we want to go back into it, Pilate did not want anything to do with the death of Christ. But point being is that killing does not set anything free. It's kind of like if you go back to the Aztecs and back into the old cultures, because of that, they believed that sacrificing, especially removing the human heart, that was the ultimate sacrifice because you're given to the gods, quote unquote. And if you go to a King James Version Bible, in the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament, it is nothing but love and devotion and faith and belief and everything else. Because if you go into the New Testament, it is nothing but blood, killing, war, and everything else. And I don't believe that that was a foretold that was coming. To me, that book looks divided. Because if you've really read the Bible, if I've read it through four times, it's two totally separate entity beings, whomever. But everything comes from the Creator. Everything comes, and like you, I believe in God, Goddess. So
right, right.
It's a balance thing there. But like we were talking about though, myself and James, the book The Secret, when it came out, everybody thought that it was just the grandest thing, you know, to hit the street, to candy, and or you know, like candy and soda and that kind of stuff. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, I've been doing this my whole life. And all it was doing was reinforcing a belief system, a way of having faith, a way of having belief that if you do this, this will happen. It didn't mean that you live your whole life like that book. That is only a part of what you can do to get to where you want to be. It's not something that you sit down and read and go, oh, this is all I have to do? Is just sit here and ask for it and really mean it?
Here's the thing, and you tell me, if you don't mind, tell me what you think about this within your own experiences and the work you've done with your connections. With integrating The Secret, and let's just say, I mean, it's one of the laws of the universe, but you're right. There's a missing piece. And let's just say anybody were to say, okay, well, if that's all I have to do. See, one thing, and I could be very wrong about this, but one thing about The Secret I noticed, which is why I think it made it so big, and there really hasn't been anything like that since 2006 when it came out. But one thing that I think that they did, and I think they did it on purpose, is they kept bringing out. In fact, they did not bring God in, which is why they sold billions of copies. And, you know, it seems so big. However, can anyone really, and I don't know this, can anyone, I'd love to know what you think, actually stay in a state of only visualizing good and having an imaginative in the way and in the world that we're taught and told? Is that even a possibility without tapping into a higher source?
Not without tapping into a higher source. There's no way possible.
I mean, they left that
again,
part out, the crucial part. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Just as I said, that Christ came to show us many things, not one thing, many things. That the same applies to The Secret. It's telling you the steps on how to do this, and, you know, it can become part of your belief system, but it is not your life, so to speak. It's not something for you just to sit there and ask and wait for. You have to do the footwork. I don't care if you read the Bible, Kabbalah. You can read any esoteric book that you want. And every single one of those books will tell you, you have to walk your talk. You have to do your end of it in order for it to succeed. Because if you don't do your end of it, your work of it, it's just out there swirling around someplace.
Right, and both of you mentioned, I heard you both say earlier, which is very wise and it's very true. It's hard work either way. Like, it's not easy to reaffirm and change our thoughts when our instinctive pattern and our brain works in the way that it's programmed.
It's not easy at all. No, I tell every person since I was the age of 12, I'll never forget it, I always told every single person, if you're wanting to get into the spiritual and not religious, the spiritual, it's a hard path to walk. Because if you think that you're not going to have to do anything, you're completely wrong. You have to do your end of it, your part of it. That's part of your soul. That's part of who you are, is what you put into it. And everybody I tell, if you think walking the path of spiritual is easy, think about it again. Because it's harder to walk the spiritual path than it is to walk a religious path. That's my opinion.
I agree, because it's in a form of higher truth, which means it is going. See, I always feel, I don't know if this makes sense, but I hear in the way that I think, like what was said earlier about being guided all the time, I believe that we have two voices, and that's our heart and that's our mind. And mm-hmm. I believe it is extremely challenging. You know, even with us, even if we do have what all the religions speak of, which is the abundance, the love, mm-hmm. the health, the wealth, the peace, the joy, all here right now, it's all here. Even that, the training and the hard work that we have to put in to unlearn what we've learned, to
correct.
Allow and give ourselves permission to receive even different new ideas, an open heart and open mind, to let go of everything we think we know,
exactly.
and allow these perceptions and knowings.
Yeah, you have to reprogram. Literally, you have to reprogram. Because
how did you do it, if you don't mind me asking? I'm so, because you really get this, and I feel blessed to connect, and I'm hearing such wisdom. It's wonderful to hear this.
I come from a family. There was, each generation had one person that was an awakened being. One person in each generation. And for me, it was my grandfather who recognized it. Before him, it was my great-grandmother, and so forth and so on.
Wow.
And the thing is that either you're going to accept it or you're going to refuse it. But I tell a lot of people, you can refuse something as long as you want. But eventually, you're going to have to choose to do it. And if you don't choose to do it now, you can choose to do it later. And some people, it takes a 2x4, you know, upside the head for them to say, whoa, okay. But the bottom line to all of this is, no matter whether it is spiritual, religious, it makes no difference. You are responsible for doing your end of the work. Because if you're going to sit there and think, well, like the secret, if you sit there and you go through those steps and everything and you don't do anything except ask and then just sit there and wait for it to come, you're going to be sitting a long time. You really are. People have to realize you have to do your part. You have to do your footwork, you know, and things do come as a blessing. Things do come as a gift. But once that gift comes and you recognize it as a gift, look back at the path you walked before that came. I mean, that's just the way it is. And a lot of people, you know, like when James Woodard were talking, there's a lot of people who don't believe that they have to do anything. Especially, you heard us when you brought up the secret, that there are people that are actually believing that that's all there is to it. That's not all there is to it. That is a medium point of it.
Right.
Because when you need something, you feel you need something, the universe knows what you need or don't need. It's like a lot of people say, well, I pray to God, but God doesn't send it. Well, maybe it's not the best thing for you right now. So,
right. That
to
me is a definition that can't be explained of faith.
Right.
Knowing that there's a higher source that knows what you need and want better and allowing that.
Right. Yes. And allowing it. That's a big part of it, allowing it. You need to let go and allow it to come in. It's just like we were talking about the programming. We're programmed from the day we are born with somebody else's fears, somebody else's belief system, somebody else's faith, somebody else's this and that.
You know what I think it started with even? The birth certificate with individuality versus more of a union.
Right. It's telling you who you are.
Immediately.
You get your certificate, you immediately are told who you are and what you are.
Yeah,
and
you're so right. Versus a higher truth.
Yeah, and then when as you grow up, just like I was saying, you know, how I was taking church and this, that, and the other thing, you're programmed by somebody else's belief system. But you're going to hit a point that you're going to wake up because something ain't going to feel right, and then you're going to start learning. It takes one foot in front of the other, but you're going to start learning. You know, just like I did. I'm not ashamed to say it. I went to that church. I told you how long I went to that church. And that's, everybody knew everybody. The deacons lived so long, everybody knew them and everything. And when I started asking these questions, I was literally kicked out of the church. Because the questions that an 11-year-old was asking, they could not answer.
And honestly, that's what they should have realized from that is how you were, I feel like, a blessing. Because, you know, when I do believe a true surrendered priest, rabbi energy is supposed to be the vessel as to where they help you connect, not as if they're the answer.
Exactly. I have to intervene here and tell you something about when I was supposed to be take my first Holy Communion. I mean, I said the story before, but Ariel did not hear it.
Tell
I
me.
Was baptized a Greek Catholic. See, Greek Catholic is different
than
Roman Catholic. And I was supposed to, pastor, he would not allow me to have my communion. Well, my mother marched down there. I sat in the hall, and I listened to her. And when I was listening, I kept thinking, you know what, he's supposed to be a priest. Why is he making such a big deal of this? I'm a little girl. I want to make my first Holy Communion with my friends. I was baptized, but because I was baptized, not a Roman Catholic, he did not want me to do it. Well, my mother basically told him off. My mother
told
him off.
That's what you call control.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about religion, that they lead you around to do this, that, and the other thing. And she said, I'm going to let everybody know that you have refused this for my daughter. Well, he shut up because he couldn't argue with her. And here I was just, how old are you, like 9 years old, 8 years old when you take your communion? And I'm sitting there and thinking, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to go to church again. My mother is going to do me in. But I got to make my first Holy Communion. And I think she probably set a precedent in that church.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, when I was 11 and asking these questions, you know what they did? They couldn't answer my questions. So what they did was they referred back to a line out of the Bible to tell me I shouldn't be thinking these things and I shouldn't be asking these things, that I should just believe what was written.
Wow.
So, yeah.
My mother was Italian, and my mother was not going to put up with that. She made an appointment with him, and I said, well, I guess I'm not going to make it. She said, oh, yes, you will. You what? You listen. You sit in the hall and listen. I'm going to tell him some things that he's probably never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
See how controlling it was then?
Yes. Yes.
You know, I used to go to church every single day. We would get a ride to high school, and I'd look around at all these people, and I'm thinking, you know, they're like these little puppets. They don't question anything. They don't. And I was already questioning because I was trying to think, wait a minute. Why do I have to go to church to pray to God? I don't have to do that.
You.
I can do it at home. I can do it in the car. I can do it outside.
Do you actually remember thinking that?
Do I remember thinking that? Sure. Back
there
then.
That's
what's so amazing.
There's a saying that says, Move a stone, move a piece of wood, and move something else. I'm trying to remember what it was. And he said, there you will find me. You will not find me in a building. So which means you can, like you say, you could go outside, you could be in your house, sitting in your chair, and still talk to God.
Oh, I talk to him every morning.
I know. You don't need somebody else's permission.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
well, I guess James is not going to call.
You know, I hear so much, and I don't know if it's like this with you too. As we get, like, these answers and evolve, how sometimes it just, like, sadly, because of how our minds train, I forget it without reaffirming it. But one thing I had understood that I'm being reminded now, I'm wondering how you two integrate this by knowing this. I feel that one of the most important things of how we've been taught and told wrong of simplicity, but it changes entire everything. And talk about hard work, but it would be
we
go inside for everything, not outside. That means for
and
career, that means
And it didn't change my belief
love.
In God at all. I wish James was on. Like I said, he tried to call in once, but it didn't change what I believed in.
Right.
It actually allowed me to be more open. I wasn't
exactly.
controlled. I didn't
exactly.
have this.
Wow.
And you know, the neighbor across the street who basically raised me, she was also Italian. And, oh, she was so proud of my mother, but she was kind of afraid. She thought, uh-oh, what's Mary? Her name was Mary. My mother's name was Mary. What's Mary going to say? Are the walls
well,
going to come tumbling down? Because nobody ever disputed or went against what Father, his name was Father Gramsa,
yeah.
what he said. He was the big boss, you know. Well, she did.
Yeah. I went to theology school and got about halfway through, and then I said, oh, I'll hold it here.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're about out of time, but gosh, this was so
yeah.
wonderful. Ariel, you can come on anytime you like, and anybody in the chat room.
I want to thank you all
life.
For exciting and wonderful. This is how incredible.
Oh, yes.
And
now
have
you
your
know
energies.
How to do this. I have Stars Aeneas, and I have Stars Priestess Candy and Stars Mystical Waters in there, and they've all, oh, somebody lost the audio. I don't know why. Sometimes, you know, Blog Talk Radio does that. They do things on there, but anyways, I want to thank everybody for coming in and listening, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Look at how this turns into something. I mean, and I'm sorry, James missed the bulk of this part at the end here. That he probably just got really disenchanted and thought, oh, geez, I can't. But he did try to log in, and then he got booted off. So, but anyways, we're going to do this again next week. Next week we're going to talk on, Cheyenne is going to be on all the different kinds of cards that the advisors that I have use for their readings, whatever types, angel cards. There's so many of them.
Tarot.
Right, and mentioning cards, Stars Aeneas is now doing every Monday we're going to have a little thing in the blog, and I'm going to post for him, and he did one today. You might want to take a look at it. Oh, yeah. The show was set for an hour instead of an hour and a half. So, yeah, that's right. They cut off the audio, so they can't even really hear us, even though it's recording. They could hear it after the show. But nonetheless, we're going to do this again next week. Thank you. It's been wonderful. I love you guys. And they can't even hear. I have to type in the chat room now and tell them that I love them, too, because it's very important. And I made the boo-boo. Yes, I kicked off the audio. I didn't really kick it off. But you can hear the show.
If it is saving recording, I'm sending blessings and praying for miracles for all of you and everybody listening and everybody here now. And thank you, and I look forward to connecting next week.
Yes, come back again.
Thanks for calling.
He always wants to come back. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. You just talk on the phone, and nothing to be afraid of. And I'm happy. I'm very happy with tonight, and I'm going to go have my dinner now and enjoy myself. And thank you, Ariel. Thank you, Cheyenne, my buddy of a long time. I've known her for so many years, and I have her crystals around my bathtub. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful having such a wonderful group. That's the thing. If you could just hear yourselves and all this, all that you're spreading out there, because we have
I'm
a lot of
listeners. I'm afraid to listen to myself.
I know, but we do have a lot of listeners that will come and listen to the show. They can't tune in at this time, but that you can always listen to all the shows off of, it's there on mysticlivingtoday.com, and it's also on Stars. So, you know, Stars with a Z, of course, is the big thing. So thank you. I love you. Everybody have a good night, and I'll see everybody next week, okay? Okay, love you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Love you. Night-night.
Love you.